ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 8, Text 48. Aho me pashyata agyanam hridi rudham duratmanaha parakhyasya eva dehasya bhavyaha me akshuhini hata aho me pasyata jnanam radirudham duratmanaha parakasyaiva dehasya bhavyo me kshohini hata. Oh, my pashyata, just see, agyanam, ignorance, hridi, in the heart, rudham, situated in, duratmanaha, of the sinful, parakyasya, meant for others, evam, certainly, dehasya, of the body, bhavyaha, many, me, by me, akshuhini, combination of military phalanxes, hata, killed. Translation, King Yudhisthira said, Oh my lot, I am the most sinful man. Just see my heart, which is full of ignorance. This body, which is ultimately meant for others, has killed many phalanxes of men. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A solid phalanx of 21,870 chariots, 21,870 elephants, 109,650 infantry, and 65,000 cavalry is called an akshohini. And many akshohinis were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Maharaj Yudhisthira, as the most pious king of the world, takes for himself the responsibility of killing such a huge number of living beings because the battle was fought to reinstate him on the throne. This body is, after all, meant for others. While there is life in the body, it is meant for the service of others. And when it is dead, it is meant to be eaten by dogs and jackals or maggots. He is sorry because for such a temporary body, such a huge massacre was committed. I'm going to read the next text also. Bala dvija surin mitra Pitri Bratri Guru Druha Name Sian Nirayan Moksho Hyapi Varsha Yuta Yutai. I have killed many boys, brahmanas, well wishers, friends, parents, preceptors, and brothers. Though I live millions of years, I will not be relieved from the hell that awaits me for all these sins. Purport. Whenever there is a war, there is certainly a massacre of many innocent living beings, such as boys, brahmanas, and women, whose killing is considered to be the greatest of sins. They are all innocent creatures, and in all circumstances, killing of them is forbidden in the scriptures. Maharaj Yudhisthira was aware of these mass killings. Similarly, there were friends, parents, and preceptors also on both sides, and all of them were killed. It was simply horrible for him to think of such killing, and therefore he was thinking of residing in hell for millions and billions of years. read the next text also. Naino ragya praja bratur dharma yudhe vadhod visham iti me natu bodhaya kalpate shasanam vachaha. There is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause, who is engaged in maintaining his citizens, but this injunction is not applicable to me. Purport. Maharaj Yudhisthira thought that although he was not actually involved in the administration of the kingdom, which was being carried on well by Duryodhana without harm to the citizens, he caused the killing of so many living beings only for his personal gain of the kingdom and from the hands of Duryodhana. The killing was committed not in the course of administration, but for the sake of self-aggrandizement, and as such he thought himself responsible for all the sins. Read the next one. Srina maddata bandhunam droho yosav iho hitaha karma bir grihamed hiyar naham kalpo vyapohitam. I have killed many friends of women, and I have thus caused enmity to such an extent that it is not possible to undo it by material welfare work. Purport. The Grihamedis are those whose only business is to perform welfare work for the sake of material prosperity. Such material prosperity is sometimes hampered by sinful activities, for the materialist is sure to commit sins, even unintentionally, in the course of discharging material duties. To get relief from such sinful reactions, the Vedas prescribe several kinds of sacrifices. It is said in the Vedas that by performing the Ashvamedha Yajna, or sacrifice, one can get relief from even Brahma Hatya, killing of a Brahmana. Yudhisthira Maharaj performed this Ashvamedha Yajna, but he thinks that even by performing such yajnas, it is not possible to get relief from the great sins committed. In war, either the husband or the brother, or even the father or sons go to fight. And when they are killed, a fresh enmity is created, and thus a chain of actions and reactions increases, which is not possible to be counteracted even by thousands of Ashvamedha yajnas. The way of work, karma, is like that. It creates one action and another reaction simultaneously, and thus increases the chain of material activities, binding the performer in material bondage. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:27-28, the remedy is suggested that such actions and reactions of the path of work can be checked only when work is done on behalf of the Supreme Lord. The battle of Kurukshetra was actually fought by the will of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, as it is evident from his version, and only by his will was Yudhisthira placed on the throne of Hastinapur. Therefore, factually, no sin whatsoever touched the Pandavas, who were only the order carriers of the Lord. For others, who declare war out of personal interest, the whole responsibility lies on them. Om Agena Tamarandasya Agenanjana Shalakaya Tatsuran Marutanjena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama. So this battle was fought under the personal direction of Lord Krishna, and it was approved by him. In fact, so much was it approved that even Arjuna, who wanted to refrain from fighting, was encouraged to fight by Lord Krishna. Krishna gave so many reasons why he should perform this activity. So, when something is done under the direction of Krishna or Krishna's representatives, it is called a karma. A karma means there's no reaction. It's transcendental activity that has no material reaction. If one does not work under Krishna's direction, then his activity will be called karma, which means actions in accord with Vedic instructions. Or vikarma, actions which are opposed to the Vedic instructions. So there's three types of activity: karma, vikarma, and akarma. Now Yudhisthira here is considering that he has performed vikarma. He's thinking that I have performed activity which is not even ordained in the scriptures. Because he's thinking I was not on the throne. I was not fighting for a just cause. I was simply fighting for my personal prestige, that I could become the king. I was the aggressor, he was thinking. He was thinking Duryodhana wasn't the aggressor. I was the aggressor. Duryodhana was doing fine. Now this is the way a devotee thinks. A devotee thinks that he's the faulty person. He doesn't blame others. So humble, thinking that he was in the wrong. Of course, this is not correct. And as we heard a few days ago, this is also part of the arrangement of the Lord to put him in this mood, to make him think like this so that the stage would be set for Bhishma Dev to instruct him at the last stage. That'll be the next chapter. We'll hear what happens as Bhishma Dev is lying on the bed of arrows. So what can we learn from this? One, we can learn that, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, we should develop that humility in thinking ourselves that we are responsible for our activities. And therefore, we must be very careful how we perform our activities, whether they're in accord with the scriptures. In other words, the instruction here is, we should not think that I can perform any activity and say that Krishna has authorized it. That's the point. The example is given that during war, a military man, say here in Germany, they have army. So someone is in the military, and if there's a war, then he fights, and he may kill many men. And he's awarded, he's given some decoration, some badge of honor that he's killed so many men. So he comes back, and he's a hero. Now, once he's living at home, then if he gets in an argument with one of his neighbors and he kills him, then the judge, when he sentences him, he says, okay, I'm sentencing you to a death penalty. And the man says, why? This is not fair. When I was in the army, I killed so many men, and I was not punished, but rather I was awarded. He showed you, I have my big badge. Now I killed only one man? And you're punishing me? What's wrong? He says, no, because in the army that was under authority. But here, there was no authority. You acted independently for your own account. So that's the difference. If one acts under the order of Krishna, then whatever he does is glorious. Doesn't matter, whatever the duty may be. In this case, Arjuna and Yudhisthira were fighting. That was their duty. And that was glorious. Killing. But for their own account, if anyone behaves, then he's responsible. He carries the karma, or the vikarma. So we should only perform our activities under the guidance of Krishna and his representatives. Because either knowingly or unknowingly, we will be forced to commit sins. What do I mean? I mean that as you're walking on the street, you're stepping on so many ants. Not only ants, but germs we're killing, we're causing anxiety for others. It's inevitable as long as one lives in this material world. So, those inevitable sins, they will be neutralized if one is acting under Krishna's instruction. The sins go to Krishna. But he's a papavidam. Sins cannot touch him. He's not affected by any sins. He can destroy all the sins. And it's authorized by him. Because he always has the biggest plan. Just like the government allows the killing on their behalf in the army. Because they decide what is right and what is wrong. They decide that this other country has committed some atrocity or whatever, and therefore there needs to be some defense. And nobody questions. Of course, now we question because we also see that the governments are not properly directed. But it's supposed to be that the government makes these decisions not whimsically, but according to very thoughtful and correct decisions. So what to speak of the Supreme Lord? He has the biggest plan, the best view of everything. And whatever he does is good for everyone. Now someone may say that if that's true, why does sometimes God allow people to be killed? Like in the battlefield. Here so many people got killed. So why would Krishna allow that if he's all good? He could have stopped it. So the answer is that yes, Krishna could have stopped it. He's God. He can do anything. But he allowed it because there was a higher purpose. And the higher purpose is that, well, many reasons. One is so many offenses were committed to the Pandavas and to Draupadi by Duryodhana and his brothers. They committed offenses. Draupadi was a chaste woman. So to offend a chaste woman is deadly. There will be very bad reactions. So not only did they offend her, but they tried to take her clothes off in the assembly. Great offense. And they cheated the Pandavas out of their kingdom and humiliated them in many ways. Then they banished them to the forest. This was unacceptable. So because of this, they, by the laws of material nature, they were destined to be destroyed. The Lord didn't even have to directly get involved because his agent Maya would have taken care of them. But it just so happens that he was the friend of the Pandavas. So he was also involved. Not directly, he didn't personally kill Krishna, but he was there driving the chariot and giving directions to Arjuna. Whenever someone commits these kinds of sinful activities, then he will lose all of his wealth, his longevity. Longevity means his lifespan, his fame, everything, family. So it turned out that all 100 sons of Dhritarashtra were killed by Bhima. Bhima took a vow that I will kill all the 100 sons personally because of the sins that they've committed. And he did it, one after the other. He fulfilled his vow. It should be known also that Krishna did try to stop the war. Before the battle began, he went to Duryodhana and he said, "Duryodhana, look, let's not have this fight between family members. You settle up, you give the Pandavas half the kingdom, and you take half the kingdom, even though you really don't deserve any of the kingdom, because Yudhisthira is the actual heir to the throne. The throne was held by Pandu, and Pandu's son was Yudhisthira. So Duryodhana has no claim. But anyway, whatever has happened, let it be done. Give the Pandavas half the kingdom. You take half. Let there be peace." Krishna personally went. And Duryodhana said no. He wouldn't listen to Krishna's proposal. So then Krishna said, "Okay, at least give them 5 villages. They're all Kshatriyas. They have to have some place to rule. Give them something to rule, even if it's a village." Then Duryodhana made his famous statement, most famous statement of his life. He said, "I will not give the Pandavas as much land as you can stick a pin into without a fight." So when he said this, Krishna said, "All right, there must be war." Because there was no dealing with him. He was unreasonable. So we can't blame Krishna that he didn't try for peace. He tried for peace. But he didn't take away the free will of the living entity. Krishna has given the free will to all living entities. And he prefers not to take back that free will, that gift of independence. They have some minute independence. He could, Krishna could take it back, but then giving and taking, it wouldn't mean anything. It would mean that actually the living entity has no free will. So he's given us that free will, and he does not want to take it back again. Therefore, even when Duryodhana disrespected him and insulted him, still Krishna respected. "All right, I respect your right." It's like in America they have a saying. And everyone thinks that it's... when they make this statement, they think they're being very unique and creative, but actually they all feel like this. And the statement goes like this, that "I may disagree with you, but I shall fight for your right to disagree with me." You understand? Is it clear? No? See, America stands on the principle that everyone should have their own opinion. It was based on that idea, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, that no one should be forced. Everyone should have their own choice. So a man in America will say, "I disagree with you." We get this a lot because we're devotees. So they say, "I disagree with you, but I will fight to defend your right to be the way you are." Because they think this is democracy, and this is the highest principle, that everyone has freedom. So in a sense, Krishna is like that, one sense, that he gives freedom to everyone to choose, and he will not take it back again. That free will is always there. Even if you disrespect Krishna, he will not take away your free will. He may cut off your head, as he often does when someone disagrees with him. If, generally speaking, if someone disagrees with him, he cuts off their head. Like the washerman in Mathura. When Krishna and Balaram went into the city of Mathura, they were walking, and this washerman came, and he had beautiful royal clothing. It was King Kansa's clothing, just so happened. And Krishna said, "Hey, washerman, come here. Let me see what you have there. Let me see. Ah, nice clothes. Why don't you give some to me and my brother Balaram? Pick out your best ones and give them to us." And the washerman said, "How dare you? You boys, you live in the forest. You're not even clean. You're just forest boys. How dare you ask for the clothes of the king? This is ridiculous." And he went on criticizing him. He said, "If people do that, you better be careful, because if the king were to find out, you'd be killed for such a thing." So Krishna didn't like his attitude. So with his hand, he cut off his head. And then they took the clothes and put them on and gave some to the cowherd boys, and everyone was all decorated in King Kansa's clothes. So, generally, he could have stopped the washerman from even speaking. He could have made him be paralyzed. But no, he allowed him to speak whatever he wanted, and then he responded. But that response was also good for the washerman, because being killed directly by the hand of the Lord, he got liberation. So this is an important point, that Krishna gives everyone the right to do what they wish, even though he gives them good advice. And if you follow his advice, then you're happy. And if you don't follow his advice, then you suffer the laws of material nature. And if we act on behalf of Krishna, there's no reactions. Does everyone understand this point? Any questions? I'll send them to Yamaraj. Of course, Krishna can send them anywhere. He can send the souls wherever, whatever he likes. That's his prerogative. But, of course, Yamaraj is also a pure devotee. So, Yamaraj can also give his benediction to souls if they come there. Generally, of course, that's not his... Generally, his business, if someone comes to him, is that he punishes them. But he's also a devotee, and he can use his discretion. So... Krishna's, why he sends someone one place and someone somewhere else, that's completely entirely up to him. If he chose to send some souls to Yamaraj, of course, that's also a saying, in a sense, that when living beings are killed, sometimes it's stated that they are sent to Yamaraj. It's kind of a saying. Just like we may say, I'm going to send you to hell or something. So that means killing. That's another way of saying. Well, we would have to look at that more closely if we want to But there's no contradiction if the Lord sends, just like the son of Sandipani Muni. He was killed. He was in the water. So first he went to find, what was it, the Panchajanya? The conch. That's where he got his conch shell, Panchajanya. And then he went to Yamraj, and Yamraj had the son there, Sandipani Muni. And he gave him back at the request of Krishna. So it doesn't mean that he was necessarily punishing him. Any other questions? Well, we have to check with higher authorities. That's the whole point, is that we should not independently try to decide to do something and then in the name of Krishna. In this case that you gave the example where Krishna was personally present telling Yudhisthira to say something, then Yudhisthira shouldn't have even worried about any other principles, morality. Who's the Lord of morality? Who's the highest moral person? Who's the highest authority in morality? That's Krishna. And he was standing there. Sometimes, for example, you should follow the scriptures, but then if the author of the scriptures is there telling you to do something, then you shouldn't say, no, but it says in the scriptures. Because he is the personified scriptures. Vedanta Krit. Vedavit. Krishna says, I am the compiler of the Vedas. So he's personally there. He's made all the rules. And now he's telling you, yes, I made all the rules, but I want you to do something now. I'm making another rule. This is an addition to the rules. Plus, there was good reasons. The reasons were that Dronacharya had unfairly taken part in a very unfair battle against Abhimanyu. He was also part of that. He knew that was not according to Kshatriya codes of fighting. So there was no sin. He had already committed such a sin. Seven warriors surrounded one. It wasn't fair. The boy was only 16 years old. And they were all Maharatis. We have to consult to make sure whether or not this activity is favorable for the discharge of devotional service, whether it's accepted as devotional service or not. In one circumstance it may be, in another circumstance it may not. So therefore we have to consult. Just like the man, and the military man, he was thinking that he had fought and killed so many men while he was in the war. Now he came home and he only killed one man. He couldn't see the problem. It's only one. But it wasn't authorized. He had no authority. If he had checked with the authorities, if he'd gone to his army commander and said, I'm having trouble with my neighbor, will you give me, is it okay if I still have one of my rifles? Is it alright if I kill him? They'd say, no, of course not. But he didn't check. He did it on his own. So therefore he was guilty. So yes, it may be a fine line. That's why we have to check with authority. Either Krishna, or if Krishna's not present on our chariot, then the spiritual master or representatives, saintly persons, they will guide us. They will tell us what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And what's acceptable one time may not be acceptable at another time. That's also possible. Yudhisthira, the reason Krishna chose Yudhisthira to tell the lie is because he never did tell a lie throughout his whole life, and he was the only one that Drona would have believed. If anyone else had told the lie or said that Ashwatthama has been slain, he would have said, "Nah, I don't believe this. This is just some trick." But when Yudhisthira said it, then he knows. This is Yudhisthira saying it. That means it's true. He's never told a lie. He was famous, and that's why Krishna chose him. Only you can do this, Yudhisthira. This is a service exclusively meant for you. Because your whole life you didn't tell any lies. So therefore he should have taken it as the most wonderful opportunity to give up all of his attachment to mundane morality. Even though it's good, the mode of goodness certainly is a wonderful thing, but a higher principle than that is to please Krishna. And sometimes Krishna wants to test us. Look at the gopis. The gopis were very chaste wives, but Krishna was playing the flute, testing them to see whether they were going to remain with their husbands chaste, or they were going to leave their husbands and come out and dance with him. And they, what did they do? They came and danced with him. Therefore, they were beyond good, beyond the mode of goodness. So the answer is, we should check with authorities, spiritual authorities, and then we'll be safe. Then there's no doubts. Any other questions? Yes. Why he encouraged it? So I explained which points? Well, not only that, but it was Yudhisthira's rightful position. They had cheated. That was, and Duryodhana was so offensive and so demoniac. Krishna doesn't like demons to be in charge of the world. And also, there were many of the demons, the Kshatriyas, these were not ordinary demons. We learned from the Mahabharata that it's like in the beginning of the Krishna book, it says, once the earth was overburdened by the forces of demoniac forces. So these demoniac forces, we learned from Mahabharata, were sent from all over the universe to take birth here on this planet. This was their headquarters. So these were not just ordinary demons. These were the biggest demons in the universe. And they were making a plan to take over not only this planet, but the whole universe. So that was Paritaranaya Sadhana Vinashaya Chaturskutam. It's one of the purposes of Krishna is to Vinashaya, to annihilate the demons, the Duskrita. To show that evil is never good, or that when someone is evil, that they get punished. Okay, so we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam.